folks are kind of looking to work together to help raise these funds. So if you're maybe one or maybe two families could take one of those blocks and work together to raise the $500 that each one of those blocks represents. Well, is $500 that each block represents, and work together, and we could see this this fundraiser come to fruition quick. But do appreciate all of those that already have taken blocks. This morning, I want you to open your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. What is the purpose of the church? What is the purpose of the church? Somebody tell me just off the top of your head, what is the purpose of the church? To preach God's word. To worship. What else? Say that again. Place of fellowship. Somebody else? Gather together. Study God's word. How about reaching souls for the Lord Jesus Christ? How about reaching souls for the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, it's hard to reach souls. It's hard if your neighbor is lost and undone without the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard to reach your neighbor as a Christian if you're not energized, if you're not fired up, if you're not interested in seeing your neighbor come to Christ and come to salvation. It's hard for them to see the Lord Jesus Christ in you if you're not fired up, if you're not excited about a home in glory. So we've got revival coming up. And I can tell you right now, there are some folks in this church right here, right now, that are fired up, ready to go, excited about reaching lost souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure that with all the excitement, all the activities, if you go out there and you look on the foyer, you're going to find so many sign-up sheets and so many things that are going on at Powhatan that are wonderful activities. There are activities that we have within the church with organizations. We've got the BB Club. We've got the R&R Club. These are wonderful gatherings, wonderful opportunities for folks within our church to reach out to others for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, we as individual Christians, we need to be fired up and we need to be ready to share the good news of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world. And revival is all about reviving the individual heart. It's not, as I mentioned, Brother Dennis can't bring revival September the 13th through the 17th, but you and I, as we open our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ and we seek His face, and the Bible says we turn from our wicked ways. Well, you know, this morning Connie had shared with us about that very verse of Scripture when the Lord talks about turning from our wicked ways. We know that we are sinners saved by grace. We know that we stumble. We realize that we have faults and we're not perfect. But there are some things that we're wrapped up in. Christians are wrapped up in that's willful sin. And that's what God's talking about. We need to turn from our wicked ways and seek His face. And then God will do what? God will hear our prayer and He'll heal our land. Fall Revival is coming up next month. And as one of our members shared with me this past week, true revival doesn't come to a church just because it happens to be on the church calendar as an annual event. True revival comes when our hearts are broken in repentance toward God and opened in earnest prayer for others that the lost of this world might come to a saving knowledge of Christ before it's everlasting too late. The truly revived church, the revived Christian, will be about their Father's business of reaching the hurting, the poor, and the lost of this world for the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's our calling. That's the calling of not just the church corporately, but the individual Christian individually. In Luke chapter 10, verse 30 through 35, let me share these scriptures with you. I'm going to begin in verse 25, if you will. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning as we have another opportunity to share in your word, as we've had this wonderful opportunity of fellowship this morning in our Sunday school program, Father, we thank you for the Sunday school teachers who came to share. We just ask you, Father, this morning as we minister in your word, Father, that you bless your word, bless your people, Father, bless your servant, that the Holy Spirit might move in a wonderful and marvelous way, Father, that as we leave your house today, we can say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. But also, Father, as we leave your house today, that we can go out into a world, Father, that's lost and undone without you, Father, and be a light that shines in that darkness, that others might see that light and be drawn into out of the darkness into the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, help us be a witness to a lost and dying world, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And all God's people said, Amen. In Genesis chapter 4, after Cain brutally slayed his brother Abel, God came to Cain and asked the question, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's keeper? What is the answer to that question for the Christian church today? Yes. Yes, we are. We are our brother's keeper. The answer to this question rings loud and clear in this parable of the Good Samaritan told by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. As we look at this parable, let us ever be reminded of the fact that we are our brother's keeper. And just as God in Christ showed great compassion and great mercy upon us, upon you and I, every one of us, by saving our lost soul, we must reach out to others with that same mercy and that same compassion for those which are dying along the roadside of life without any knowledge of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the points that I've already mentioned this morning, but it was really opened up your heart and your mind to the fact that we have a culture of people that are dying without the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the deaf. The deaf. The Free Will Baptists of North Carolina, the original Free Will Baptists of North Carolina, have got one of the finest outreach programs to the deaf by through blended fellowship. And as Brother Seymour was, Doug Seymour was sharing with us yesterday, he said, you know, throughout all the other denominations, very few ministries are thriving, designed to reach the deaf. And he said exclusively they are functioning to reach deaf people. People come from all over the state just to be in their congregation for the morning worship hour, just so that they can get some indication, some preaching of the Word of God in the way that they can understand it. And so, you know, it would be a wonderful thing if Powhatan Free Will Baptist Church could have a deaf ministry where we could open up our doors and have folks here that are able to minister to them and share with them in a wonderful and marvelous way. But it's important that we understand how to do that. And I appreciate Julie and Kristen and all of our youth leaders that are working with our young people to teach them sign language that they can communicate with the deaf. But we need to reach the lost for the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 10, let me begin reading in verse 25 again. It says, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted." I want you to underscore that word tempted, because this lawyer is not asking the question because he wants to understand. He's trying to trap the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it says, "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" There are many, many professing Christians who haven't the slightest understanding of the simplicity of the gospel message. One of the important things that Angie had mentioned as we met in the development of our outreach program to others, she mentioned the fact that we need to be prepared. We need to be able to go into the home and spend the time there and make sure that before we leave that home, that those folks understand the simple message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's important. And yet there are many Christians in this world, professing Christians, that have no idea how to share the simple message of the gospel. That we are sinners saved not by our own efforts and good works, but by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. This lawyer, stressing the importance of his works, "What must I do?" and his standing with God, asks the question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And note, the Bible says the question was asked not sincerely, but was asked for the very purpose of tempting the Lord. But Jesus returns the lawyer's question with a question. Verse 26, "And he said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself.'" Boy, that's a mouthful, is it not? Here the lawyer marries two Old Testament scriptures together in his response to Christ's question. And keep in mind, these are Old Testament scriptures. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." And then he adds Leviticus 19:18, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, for thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord." And so the central theme of all the law and the prophets is to love God and to love your neighbor. Jesus commends the lawyer for his right response. But look at verse 28. "And he said unto him," here the lawyer said unto the Lord Jesus, the Lord Jesus said unto the lawyer, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." It is one thing to know the law, and quite another to obey the law. Christ has given this man cause for deep personal and spiritual examination. We too must examine ourselves against the same commandment. The magnitude of Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5 is staggering. Let me ask you this morning, listen to this. Listen to this verse again. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." Anybody here this morning say that they can do that? Anybody here this morning can stand up and say, "I love the Lord God with all of my heart, mind, strength, and soul"? Can you say that? Would you even dare to say that? Having never seen God face to face, can we truly say with an honest and open heart that we love the Lord Jesus with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind? I don't think we can. The Apostle Peter once said, "Lord, I love you so much that I would die for you." And yet when it came time to put his testimony to the test, he failed miserably. If we are honest with ourselves and we are faithful Christians, the best we can say is, "Lord, we love you," and leave any other further boasting or embellishment behind. Certainly as Christians, we can truthfully say that we love the Lord. But can we honestly say that we love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind? I don't think any of us can. In fact, I'll go one better than that. I know you can't. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can. And what that means is this lawyer is first of all lying. He's lying. And another thing that he fails to see is he needs the Lord Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Yet the Lord demands that very level of love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only one that can measure up perfectly to this law's demands. This lawyer spoke the truth, and the Lord told him to put that truth into action. Verse 28, and he said unto Jesus said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Boy, you can't turn on the news today and not find somebody that's fallen into this same kind of this same situation. People being murdered left and right, killed just out, and not just murdered, they tortured and then mutilated. We live in a sick society today, my friends. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus just as soon as possible. The same careless and wicked people live in this world today. And the further we move away from faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and in His Word, more ruthlessness and viciousness the world will become. Verse 31 says, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and then when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now just get that picture. Here is a man laying in the middle of the street, bleeding, probably unconscious. And here comes a priest, and he just sees him laying in the middle of the street, and he passes by on the other side. This priest represents ritualism and ceremonialism, church position, church attendance, baptism, communions, tithing, etc. All of those things that make up church religion. These are the people who are active in the church but have no knowledge of what the true purpose of the church is. They are long on prayer but short on service to others. And the end result of the one harboring this type of hypocrisy is to be cast into everlasting fire. In Matthew 25, verses 41 through 43, Jesus says, depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. These people had perfect attendance in the temple and could quote the Holy Scriptures by heart, but they were short on mercy and compassion and love for their fellow man. In the Old Testament book of Hosea, chapter 6 and verse 6, God said this to the children of Israel, For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. Just because you bring your tithes and offerings to the church, just because you bring your attendance to the church, once you go out the door, God requires more of you than just that. In fact, God could do without those things if you would just reach out to your neighbor with the good news of Jesus Christ. A life of church attendance with its rituals and ceremonies will not save us. It will not make us fit for the kingdom of God. Only a heart of love for God and love for our neighbor, energized by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit, purchased by the shed blood of Christ, can make us fit for the kingdom. The priest had done none of this, and so he passed to the other side. Verse 32 says, and likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, I tell you, the priest needs revival, doesn't he? That priest needs revival in his heart. Verse 32 says, and likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. Here is another religious person. He just had to see for himself the injured man's predicament. You know, so many times, isn't it interesting, so many times when traffic is backed up for miles, it's not because the wrecked cars are in the middle of the highway. In fact, the wrecked cars are off the side of the highway, but why is traffic backed up for miles? Curiosity. We just got to see. Human nature. But here, this Levite, he passes by. He just had to see for himself the injured man's predicament. He saw the man's wounds, his suffering, and his need for attention, but the scribe just didn't have the time. Listen to this. A woman who was attacked by a rapist in her home for hours. She was strangled, left for dead, all occurring while her 3-year-old daughter was in the room. When she regained her consciousness, she grabbed her little girl and stumbled out of the house to her next door neighbor, who closed the door on her, refusing to get involved. The mother then stepped out into the street, crying out for help. A car stopped, but the driver was late for work and couldn't help either, or wouldn't help. Finally, another car stopped. The driver called for help, and the woman was taken to the hospital. I wonder how many of these people were church people. Two of them did not want to be bothered by the poor, the desperate plight of this woman. And yet, Proverbs 21:13, the Lord says, "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." Listen to that again. Whoso stops his ears, whoever covers his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. In James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17, James says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or a sister be naked or destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone." This Levite examined the man's needs, and yet still he too passed to the other side. Then verse 33 says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him," what does the Bible say? "He had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him." And I want you to notice that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, placed compassion before everything else. In Luke chapter 4, verses 18 through 19, the Scripture says, "The Spirit of the Lord," Jesus said, "the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Well, that's our calling as well today. This Samaritan had compassion on this man. Christ had compassion on us. We were dead in trespasses and sins, dying along some long-forgotten road, and Jesus Christ came by. The hymn says, "I was sinking deep in sin." And by the way, this is probably the testimony of every Christian here this morning that's been born again. Every Christian this morning that's been born again. "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more." That's a desperate situation. "But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, now safe am I." I'll guarantee you, this man laying alongside the road was thankful to see this Samaritan come along. The Samaritan had compassion. Compassion isn't prejudiced, nor does it care about opinion, time, energy, or money. Compassion isn't prejudiced, nor does it care about opinion, time, energy, or money. Compassion leaps out in the abyss to save a drowning soul. The Samaritan's actions prove that he was a man whose heart belonged to the Lord and knew what it truly meant to love thy neighbor. The good Samaritan is our example. He's the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must reach out to those who are dying along the roadside in their trespasses and sins to help them find the saving grace and compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. To them, all hope is gone. I would hate to be living in this world today without any knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's got to be a dark place to be. To many in the world today, all hope is gone. The church can't save a lost soul. Rituals and ceremonies can't save a lost soul. But the love and compassion of the great shepherd, the good Samaritan of all, can save lost souls. John 10:10, the scripture says, the Lord says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Jesus Christ was willing and able to bear our burden, to lift us up from the roadside that we might find rest and healing in Him. And Christ continues today to meet our every need. This Samaritan was not satisfied just to get the man to a place of care and safety. He intended to see this man through to complete recovery. Verse 35 says, And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, "Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." You know, it's one thing to lead a person to the Lord Jesus Christ. New converts need an inn where they can continue to be taken care of. And we Christians are the host in the end, the Bible-believing church. Our example is the Good Samaritan, Jesus Christ. If we have the love of Christ working in our lives, we will tell those in harm's way about the saving grace of the Lord. We will lead them to the church that can take care of their spiritual and, if necessary, their physical needs as well. This is the calling of the Church of Jesus Christ. The question put to Jesus by the lawyer is, "Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor?" Now the lawyer must answer Christ's question. Verse 36, Jesus looks at this lawyer and he says, "Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And the lawyer said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." You know, Vacation Bible School this year soared with the love of the Lord Jesus. Such an exciting time. In fact, our Vacation Bible Schools have all been wonderful times of outreach and love and compassion and caring for others. Many throughout our community came to participate in Vacation Bible School this year. Many in our church worked hard to make sure that Christ and His love were evident in our fellowship with all. This divine energy is so powerful that it must not be borne by a precious few, but must be the precious burden borne of all. Our neighbor is anyone that the Holy Spirit brings us in contact with, saved or unsaved, white, black, green, brown, yellow, red, or blue, that we might minister to them in the love and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. So who is our neighbor? Well, I'll tell you this. Our neighbor is anybody that the Holy Spirit brings us in contact with to minister to on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He sets up those situations practically every day. In my life, it's amazing how you have an opportunity set before you to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to share your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are so many, and many of these opportunities are just, we just pass by on the other side. We don't want to get involved. We don't want to share our personal life with somebody else who's struggling. We may have been through that very same incident, and yet we're not willing to share how God brought us through that incident, that these others might be lifted up, might be encouraged and strengthened. Who is our neighbor? Who is our neighbor? I'll tell you, if we are Christians and we're dead and we have no desire to reach the lost, Lord knows we need revival. We need revival. Revival needs to begin right in the heart. If we lack the desire to reach others for Christ's sake, we need revival in our own heart. Revival comes when our heart is opened to Christ in repentance and opened in earnest prayer for others, that the lost of this world might come to a saving knowledge of Christ before it's everlasting too late. Have you passed anybody by this week? Have you had an opportunity to minister? Last Sunday, a lady, we received a call here at the church, and a lady was calling about a certain need that she had. And the members of our church who took that call responded to that need. Now, this pastor has received a lot of calls. You know, I get calls from people who are in desperate straits. They need a dollar here. They need a dollar there. But it's interesting that so many times when I get calls for help, they come from outside the community of Clayton. And you know, we at Powhatan here have a benevolence fund to reach out and to assist our members. And we also support Clayton Area Ministries, where Clayton Area Ministries also reaches out and helps to meet the needs of folks that may not be members of churches in the community. But most of these calls that I get come from people who live in Goldsboro, live in Cary or Garner or what have you. And so I'm not able to respond to all of those. But I do know that I'll share with them where they can go to get help and how they can go to get help. But last Sunday, the members that took that call responded to that need. And they didn't ask, what is your color? They didn't ask, what is your religion? They didn't ask if you were a member of a church. They packed up, they got in their car, they went to that, to where that need was, and they helped meet that need. Is that the Good Samaritan? Is that a person in whose life Christ is alive? Believe it is. Believe it is. Many folks are dying alongside the road without any knowledge of Christ, and you and I may pass them by every day. When the Holy Spirit moves upon us, we need to be moving to reach out to those that are in desperate need for spiritual help and as well physical need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning, Lord, as we've had the opportunity to share in your word, Father, we thank you for the Good Samaritan. And Father, we realize that it was quite a slap in the face to this lawyer who was a Jew to find out that the Samaritan was closer to the Lord than the lawyer was. Father, this morning we may have drifted. We may not be focusing. We may have a completely different focus in our Christian walk than you would have for us. We may be looking to help those that we know and those that we feel like are deserving of our mercy and our compassion. And yet, Father, mercy in itself is undeserving. The whole point of mercy is that while the person is not deserving of our love and our kindness and our gifts, Lord, mercy, the very definition of mercy is that we reach out to them anyway. And Father, I thank you this morning for sharing and for laying upon my heart, Father, this burden. And Father, I pray for those that are lost and undone without you. There may be somebody here this morning that's never made a personal commitment to you. I pray this morning, Lord, that they would step out and they would come to an old-fashioned altar. Give me an opportunity for just 2 or 3 minutes to share with them the simple message of the gospel of Christ, that when they leave this sanctuary, Father, they can go out into a world knowing that if the rapture of the church should take place today, they will be safely home with the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, there may be one here that's known you, been Christians for years and years and years, Father, and yet have never put that Christian faith into action. I pray today, Father, that there would be a rededication of that heart to service to Thee before it's everlasting too late. Father, give us an opportunity to share the Lord Jesus with somebody that's laying alongside the road facing eternal death. Father, bless. You get praise, get honor, and glory, for we ask these things in Christ's name and for His sake. And all God's people said, Amen. The invitation.